CKF United.
Okay, we are here in the beautiful Voice of San Diego studio, paid for by your money, whoever's listening to this. I'm Dallas McLaughlin. It is TKF United. If you are listening to this, you know this is kind of a branch off on the Kept Faith feed, where we're dedicating all these episodes to talking about the situation in Mission Valley, San Diego County Credit Union Stadium, or the MRF, or Qualcomm, whatever you want to call it. So far, you've heard Nick talk to an SDSU West supporter. I was not in that conversation for good reason. And you also talked to heard Nick and DK talk to people at the Soccer City party, I guess you could say, or a rally. And one of the things I wanted to do with the TKF United is talk to people who are kind of, you know, not supporting one side or the other, the people who are a part of this community, who help make decisions for this community, and talk about how we can bring the community a little bit more together. So today I've asked Councilman Chris Kate to be here. Hello, Chris.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
I just call you Chris, but Councilman, should I be more official?
Chris is fine.
Chris is fine. Mr.
Yes.
Chris Kate. Christopher. Chris, you've been a councilman for how long now?
So I was elected in November of 2014. So I've been in office for a little over 3.5 years now.
And this is election time for you. We were just chatting about that.
Yes.
You're said some really nasty things about my friend Tommy.
Not true at all.
You both are such sweethearts. That's why I'm so happy that I don't live in Claremont anymore. I don't think I could handle having to pick between both of you. So I am off. I'm in Temecula, and I don't even know who's up there. But anyway, you've been in Claremont for a while, and the last time I think we saw each other was maybe at Mark Hamill Dedication Day.
Yeah,
is probably
exactly
the last time, which was maybe Claremont's finest hour, let's be honest.
That was a fun event. I mean, we had over 1,000 people show up.
It was huge.
A hot day.
Oh, my God.
I don't know how Mark was wearing all black and leather jacket.
Well,
he
was wearing black because he's now part of the force in the negative sense,
go.
Right? That was such a fun day, man. It was one of those moments where I wrote about it a little bit and put it up on the Kept Faith, but it was a nice moment where amongst that era was just such, in San Diego, such divisiveness and anger. And it was like we all came together for this like fun, silly little thing. And he was so jazzed about it.
Oh, he was great. And what folks, I don't know if I've told you afterwards, is that after kind of all the hoopla and everything died down, he actually personally went back to that spot and talked to some of the neighbors there.
No way.
Talked to my staff. Like, he wanted to wait till a lot of the folks just were gone spent some time there. Spent time with some of our public safety firefighters and police officers as well too. So
wow,
you really got the kind of chance to look at who he is as a person, because he wanted to do stuff that was just not be recognized for it, you know.
Sure.
Just do it out of the goodness of his heart and spent that time with those folks.
Well, I tweeted out my story that I wrote about the event, and he liked it, and man, I'll tell you, I could have just quit everything right then.
I still saved my DM from him.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. How do you know? Well, like, you know, you've had such a long history with the Mission Valley site.
Yeah.
And you know, pretty much since you probably got into office, it's been a situation. And for most of us in San Diego, it's been a situation since we can remember. Most famously, I don't even know if that's a phrase.
Infamously, maybe.
Infamously. during kind of the height of this Charger situation, we'll take it back a few years, they posted your number on the internet and said, call Councilman Chris Kate and ask him why he hates San Diego, essentially. Now, explain to me, at what point, why did they feel the need to do that? Because I didn't feel like you were an opponent of that situation. I felt you were just trying to get answers.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we were trying to do. When I first came into office, a lot of the stuff was unfolding. You know, CSAG was a thing, and that was going through its process. And I kind of came in the middle of this and really was just expecting to have a conversation and a relationship. And, you know, when I came into office, I started that with the Padres organization. I'm not even in their district. I don't represent downtown, but they wanted to reach out. And I was like, this is cool. Like, we're going to have these conversations, talk about the future of San Diego, all that. And that's what I was expecting. And once the CSAG drama went forward and kind of fizzled out, the Chargers released their ballot measure and their initiative, my whole goal was to get answers to that, the questions that I had. And that's what was my intent at the beginning, was just to, hey, I would love to meet with ownership, representatives, talk about the initiative, and that never happened. I mean, it came down to me really cold calling Dean Spanos' office and talking to his secretary. He said, hey, this is Chris Cade. I'm a city council member. I would love to chat with Mr. Spanos or whomever else about the initiative and get some detailed responses. And that never happened. I had one meeting with Fred Moss at the time, but really wasn't an in-depth, here are some of the assumptions we have, here's the details of this, so on and so forth. And that's really all I wanted. And I think those unanswered questions, I think, left a sour taste, not only in my mouth, but a lot of other folks' mouth, mm-hmm. about what are some of the details of this. Because, you know, I read the initiative many times and had a bunch of debates, met with opponents, whomever, and said, this is what I read in the language. This is, I'm just going off of this. This is mm-hmm. all I got. So this is not true or something different. I would love to know about it, but that wasn't the case. And lo and behold, I became the boogeyman, you know, the whatever else you want to call
poster
it.
Child the poster for child for anti-football, yeah. Yeah.
Which is just not the case at all. And so, you know, when we took a lot of hits, you know, and what's funny is that, you know, I've born and raised in San Diego. I've listened to 1090 and all these other shows and love all kind of the radio personalities and stuff. And just, it was weird
except
to be
except for
on
Woods,
the,
but go ahead.
He's awesome. That's a great show, by the way.
No, they're doing wonderful.
They're doing great. Yeah, yeah. But nonetheless, I mean, it was just weird to be on the other end of that. Cause these are guys who I listen to and like, oh my gosh, like, you know,
yeah.
Scott and BR, like I've listened to them forever, you know, yeah. And just to be weird to be on that side of it all. So, but we took a lot of hits and a lot of lumps and, you know, a lot of just not nice things called our office and said to us. But
well, and as a San Diegan yourself, you know, and me too, like what, when they did that, I mean, I'm sure as a politician, you learn pretty quickly to try to brush as much stuff as you can off. Yeah. I can't imagine being a politician, especially right now. I think I would have no social media accounts. I would hide. What, like when they did something like that, when they post your phone number and say, call him, as you as a person, as a San Diegan, like, you know, it might sound like a cupcake question, but how did that make you feel? You know, I mean,
you know, it was a strange emotions really that came over. You know, part of it was I never really got angry. You know, mm-hmm. it was frustrated. It's kind of like, you know, if I can only just explain to every single person I talked to or called and said, this is the history, this is why this is happening, this is politics, this is all this. It was, but you learn in politics that you can't do that. I mean, mm-hmm. you do as much outreach as possible. I mean, I did a bunch of debates and try to talk about my position on this, but people are just going to believe you or not believe you, have a position, not have a position. That's, you let the chips fall where they may. And so you try not to let it get to you, but when it's San Diego, when it's, you know, a franchise has been here for decades and has a history here in San Diego and people are passionate about sports, as am I, it gets tough, but you know, but you were elected to do a job and you're elected to represent the taxpayers and the residents, and you have a responsibility to that. You have to let some of these other emotions and passions on other things kind of by the wayside in order to fulfill that job.
So the Chargers ultimately leave, and immediately, you know, Soccer City jumps in. It mm-hmm. seems like they have a plan in place. And please correct me if I'm wrong here, because I'm often am. If you listen to the Kept Faith podcast, you know I often just talk off the top of my head. But Soccer City jumps in pretty quickly. They have a plan in place they want to do. And whether, you know, I don't want to get in the specifics of that plan. That's not what this is about. That plan is dead. But it seemed to me that San Diego State said, hey, wait a minute. Hold on. You can't just have this property. This is our property. So on a kind of a surface level, just by the law, basically, once the Chargers left that land, they were leasing that land, correct me if I'm wrong, mm-hmm. and that land is just open to the public now, or what happens to that land once the Chargers left?
So once the Chargers left and backed out of the lease, that becomes a city-owned asset again, an open city asset where we can do what we want to do, and that's what we're doing now with it. I mean, we still rent out that facility to different events, to concerts, you name it. We still have management in place that's overseeing the property. We're still making payments on it. So it's not as if it's a defunct property. We're still doing things there. And maybe not to the level we want to be, but we're still doing things there. And so I think after that, I mean, Soccer City, wherever you fall on the plan, I mean, they did their due diligence and they were prepared, you know, and you can fault them for that. You can credit them for that, however you see. But yeah, I mean, they were coming in and said, in case that the Chargers did leave, we want to be prepared for something next. And that's what they essentially wanted to do. And so they made those rounds. They did their signature gathering, all of that. You know, during that course of time, a lot of questions are coming back and conversation about whether or not Soccer City is partnering with San Diego State or what that looks like. I've heard a number of different stories from both sides about this. Believe who you want to believe. At the end of the day, I think everyone's hope was that the two sides would come together and agree on one thing and not have two competing ideas. But that's where we stand today. And that's going to be up to the voters ultimately in November to figure out which one they like best or they don't like either of them. There are a number of different options that are on the table when it comes to voting on two competing ballot measures come November.
So, you know, for the land purposes, no one had claim to the land. It was the city's land. And
correct.
Now we have these two entities who are trying to say, hey, we want the land for ourselves. And are they trying to purchase the land or are they trying to work out a deal with the city?
So the two measures are different in those respects. So if you look at the Mission Valley site, it's 166 acres. And there's also the Chargers training complex, which is just off of Arrow Drive, a little north of that site, that facility. That's a separate
next to
acreage.
An Einstein's. Yeah, I know where that is.
There you go. So there's that site is in play for the Soccer City initiative. The Soccer City initiative is a little more direct with the city in that their proposal calls for purchasing the property, having lease space on other properties, taking care of the park sites, the river park site that they plan to build there as well too. So it's a little more of an interplay between the supporters of Soccer City, the proponents of Soccer City, and the city. The difference between that and SDSU is that the SDSU initiative calls for us to sell the property to the Cal State system. Mm-hmm. So they would purchase that site and everything from approvals would go through their system, which is separate from the city. So the city, at the end of the day, would not have any type of overarching authority and vote on whatever comes forward from their proposal. They would have to go through their own environmental process that's separate from the city. So that's kind of a big difference between the two. But when it comes to pros and cons, I think there's pros and cons to each of the individual initiatives based on what's presented and also what you think is important for that site and the future of the city. And that's where I think it's going to be difficult for voters to try to determine what is not going to be the best idea or plan for that site. So that's going to be, it's going to be a tough call. And I'm going to say now there's going to be a lot of money spent now and November. It's going to be, unfortunately, I think a very costly election cycle for both initiatives. And I think some not so nice things, even though not so nice things have already been said, will continue to be said.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just thinking as you're saying that, I'm sure that a lot of members of the city government are happy to let somebody else purchase it, worry about that property for a while. Because, I mean, honestly, I cannot remember a time that people weren't fighting over that land. And when the Chargers left, I thought it was so comical that all the blame went on Falconer, and whether he was responsible for certain things or not. I mean, like, hey, man, this went back to Dick Murphy. This has been a problem for a long time, even before that. So anyway, I think it's interesting that there are these two scenarios, are these two plans, and they are different. And you both have rabid fan bases. And as we've seen on the San Diego State side, you know, they're kind of mobilizing, or at least trying to mobilize, all the alumni that they can and kind of, you know, spearhead this movement. And then on the Soccer City side, you have a bunch. I mean, obviously, this town could be a soccer town, I think, pretty easily. We've seen that when the Cholos play locally. If we embraced it, we could have a major sport here in the city like soccer. And obviously, Aztecs football, we have the good seasons, bad seasons. You know, that's how college football kind of goes for the most part. So they have these two rabid fan bases, but it seems like these organizations, and I really feel like it started with the Chargers and during such a crazy election time, that both these sides are now arguing and fighting and trying to find ways to make it somebody else's fault. And what I've kind of talked about before too on the Kept Faith is saying, hey, Chris, you don't like San Diego because you don't like the Aztecs. Screw you. And then you're like, wait a minute, that's not what I said. And the same thing can be said about me. You know, it's almost like these companies are or organizations are forming these giant opinions by saying to people, you don't like San Diego because you don't like my plan. And then they have all these fan bases that are just buying into that. Where do you think, I know that's a long-winded question to get here,
that's a good question.
Where do you think that kind of mentality comes from, and have you seen it as a public official work?
I think it comes from the fact that, at least in San Diego, and my experience dealing with being in San Diego politics for over a decade now, it's often difficult to get big things done mm-hmm. in San Diego. And there's often different constituencies that are at play, and folks are always looking for something negative about a project or something to latch on to and to oppose. And again, that makes it difficult to implement any type of bigger vision for what San Diego wants to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it often comes down to two sides can't come together and agree on something, or, you know, I'm going to take my ball and go home yeah. or whatever else. And again, not being in the discussions with this initiative, with these two initiatives, I mean, that's where, again, I go back to my hope was they would have came together and agreed on something. I think what this speaks to, though, and for the future is, you know, we talk about the sports arena site for a long time as well, too. Do we need a new arena in San Diego for the Gulls or an NHL team or something
Box
else?
Box lacrosse.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So what do we, you know, is that going to be the same thing, right? Are we going to be in the same trap when we have that discussion, which I think will come sooner rather than later? That's my worry more than anything else, is what happens after this for things we want to do, whether it's going to be that sports arena site, is it downtown? You know, we're going to repeat this all over again. I hope we don't, but that's what it's kind of is foreshadowing to, I think, in my opinion. So, you know, that's where I think there's a lot of options for residents and what they want to do with these two initiatives. You know, do you want to just say, you know what, I think we should start from scratch all over again. The city should just go through a request for proposal project and bid it out and go from there. I'm going to vote no on both of these initiatives and we start over again and mm-hmm. kind of just take our time the next time around. Or, you know what, I'm going to vote yes on both initiatives. Let's see where the chips fall. Whoever gets the most votes, if both of them pass, whoever gets the most votes wins. I like both of them, like elements of both of them. I'm going to go that route. Or you can do a deeper dive and say, you know what, I do like what San Diego State is. I believe in higher education. I believe in the expansion of universities more than anything else. I'm going to support this. Or, you know what, I'm looking for a transcendent project that is very visionary, out of the box. I'm going to support Soccer City and go there. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're different things to like about them, but I agree. I mean, it's going to be in position where I hope that there's this wide net it's in cast on somebody because you like this, you don't like this.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I agree, is probably not true. There might be there are possibly some other filters in there, layers in there for folks that, you know what, I just like that we're going to have, you know, a potential MLS franchise here. I like the university side of it and the research side of it, or I like there's going to be a new entertainment district there. I mean, mm-hmm. there's so many different elements in both these plans that are, I think, are beneficial for San Diego.
But have you ever seen, I mean, you know, it's hard for you probably to answer this, not because you wouldn't want to, but just because how do you really quantify it? But this divisiveness thing, have you ever really seen it work like this before? Because the last time I see it being presented so much was with the Chargers.
Yeah.
And obviously that didn't work out for the Chargers. And really it just made the whole city look like a bunch of idiots. So for this, again, now being so divisive, and as you just mentioned, we're at the tip of this thing. I mean, it's going to explode here in the next couple of months and be that way for 6 months. Do you feel like this is going to benefit either one of those parties as somebody who actually has to run through elections and yeah. do this kind of thing? Do you find that as a strategy that these people should be embracing, or maybe they should pull back on?
I think for the most part, I mean, just from a political standpoint, how do you win a campaign? I mean, you're going to have to promote yourself. So mm-hmm. I think for the most part, a lot of this is going to be about each of the individual plans to try to galvanize supporters or sell a message or sell a vision for each of the individual plans. So my hope is it doesn't get too nasty too early. It probably will get to that at some point because you got to differentiate yourself. That's politics is about compare and contrast.
Yeah.
So I think it'll get to there at some point. Let's just say both measures pass and one obviously with the most votes wins. My hope is whatever that is, we just all get behind and work out the best possible scenario for not only whomever wins, but for the city too, because the city does have a role in this from the sale of the asset side. We want to make sure that's in the best interest of taxpayer. That's who we represent. So, but other than that, my hope is that we get behind a vision and fulfill that based on what the voters say, and do it as quickly as possible. That's my hope. What I have said repeatedly is that I don't want this site to sit there for decades more. You know, I think the impending thing that we're all thinking comes after if one of these wins is the lawsuits.
Yeah.
You know, how long do the lawsuits go on? I mean, my hope is there aren't any, but most likely there will be.
Yeah.
So that's where hopefully we can get through all that as quickly and expeditiously as possible and settle on something that we're all going to be living with and for decades and decades and decades.
Why do you think I mean, silly question, I guess, but because I look at it and like you just said, I think your biggest fear is that nothing happens with that site. And I think a lot of people now have become so apathetic to the whole situation that they just assume nothing is going to happen, that they, you know, because both these ballot measures have to pass a certain threshold, right, to happen. So if neither get there, then nothing happens and we go back to whatever we go back to. Because I certainly think that's what happened with the Chargers, is that people were just so apathetic to the situation. They were like, screw this. You know, like, if people can't come together and figure this out, then we don't care about it.
Yeah.
Why do you think that happens? I mean, and obviously you've only been in local government for a few years within the city council, but why do you think that happens? Why do you think that big things can't really get done here in San Diego? Is it just because everyone's looking for their little pot of gold, or?
I think it's hard. I mean, it's hard in that it's tough to build coalitions. It takes time. It takes patience. It takes effort. It takes resources as well too. And you know, I always say that there's this kind of dance that's happening right now in San Diego, and I think that there's this line, and we have one foot on the side of we're a small town. You know, we're beach city, you know, we're quaint, everyone knows each other, that kind of thing. Another foot on the side where it's, we are a big city, we're the eighth largest city in the country, we sit on the busiest border crossing in the world, we have access to the Pacific Rim, we should act like a big city. And we have one foot on each side, and we haven't made a leap into one or the other yet. You know, if we're going to be a small city, we're not going to do big things.
Yeah.
If we're a big global city, we're going to do bigger things. We're going to have a huge economy. We're going to look for jobs, high-tech jobs. We're going to deal with our housing crisis, all these big things. And it's tough because whichever decision you make, you're going to piss a lot of people off.
Yeah.
You know, and politicians, and I'll say this, you know, we want to please people. We want to get votes. We want to make people happy. We don't want people pissed at us.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you make an omelet, you got to break some eggs.
Sure.
And how do we balance that decision-making process? You know, who are we okay with pissing off more than anybody else? And that's why it's often tough to make these types of choices, whether it's a housing project in a city, or you're talking about Airbnb or whatever else, you name it. Again, there's going to be a certain amount of people who just don't like what you're doing.
Yeah. So it definitely feels as a person who's lived here my whole life, that we kind of go back and forth on that idea. Like sometimes we feel like, oh, well, we'll be the small town, we'll be the sleepy beach town. And then sometimes, oh, we're now this global leader. And then a bunch of the cool things happen, and then it kind of fades off. Like, I mean, you know, under Sanders, it felt like we had boomed into this brewery city. You know, we're going to lead the world in craft beer. And I think we do pretty much.
We do, yeah.
And it was kind of an exciting time of all that stuff. And then, you know, after he leaves office, it kind of slows down and things get a little weirder and stuff. Yeah. You know, obviously, we had that Filner debacle. I don't know if you remember that Filner debacle, but wow.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. Not a good guy, apparently. So, I mean, things got a little wonky. But and I don't mean to downplay that situation by calling it wonky, but that might be the best word. So moving forward from here, I mean, obviously, you're in an election year, and Do you feel pressured to pick a side, or do you feel like because you're in a district that isn't going to be directly affected by the passage of this? I mean, you will be affected, but it's not going to be happening, you know, in your backyard, correct, basically. Do you feel like you need to step forward and take a lead, or is your interest, hey, I want to see how this can affect my district and how we can make that the best?
Yeah, you know, and kind of when this all interplayed, I mean, you got to remember too, one proposal came before the other, right? I mean, Soccer City came first, and then SDSU West came afterwards, and both of them were, you know, they're extremely complex measures.
Yeah.
And what I have said is that my hope is to do stuff like this, which is try to educate folks about the history, what are the pros and cons of each one, and let the voters make their decision. Because, you know, everybody has different priorities when it comes to this. And what I don't want folks to do is just rely on kind of the 10-second soundbite to make a decision, you know. And how do we educate folks? Because this is a generational decision when it comes to a measure like this and when it comes to projects like this. So that's my hope, is to educate folks. You know, I'm cautiously optimistic that at least one of them will pass.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of trying to read the tea leaves, it's going to be difficult. I mean, just there's a lot of other outside influences other than these two measures that I think are going to have a really weird is probably the best word I can think of right now, impact
wonky,
yeah,
there you go.
I mean, there's going to be a ton of statewide ballot measures, right?
Yeah.
There's going to be a bunch of local ballot measures other than just these two, and you're dealing with other things that are wonky, like voter fatigue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are people going to vote down ballot? Are they going to bother to, if there's two ballots, you know what Scott Lewis will say, it's a bananas ballot, just so much stuff on there. Are people going to flip over to the second page and actually fill out, mm-hmm, the bubbles and read what's on there? So there's a lot of other things at play with these two measures other than just this, which makes it even all the more difficult to pass something.
Yeah, I used to host a podcast for a couple of years, co-hosted, called Everything's Fine. We were very political, but one of the things we always talked about was the need to convince people to vote locally.
Yeah.
Because you're right, a lot of people don't even pay attention to the rest of the ballot. They see, you know, the president column, and that's where they'll vote.
Yep.
And it's sad because these local ballot measures are actually the things that affect you on a day-to-day basis way more than, you know, Trump would ever really affect you on a day-to-day basis.
Absolutely.
So I'm glad that you would like to educate folks. And I think that should be the thing. Do you think that's maybe the best thing we can do moving forward to kind of cure some of this divisiveness, is try to get information out and the right information out? And then if that's the case, how do you think we could go about that?
Yeah, I think that's the exact position, I think, at least for, you know, the Kept Faith and others to do that. I mean, the Voice will do that as well too, and others should continue those efforts. I think doing it through podcasts, voter outreach efforts, PolitiFest when that happens is a great idea as well too, and trying to just reach out to those folks, and social media is obviously another platform to do it, and just try to educate folks about what are the actual facts. I mean, it's easy to get caught up in the 10-second sound bites on these, because again, these are really complex land use decisions. And I mean, when you read these initiatives, yeah, one may be shorter than the other, but there's a lot of secondary questions. Well, what if this were to happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or who is going to make these decisions down the line that aren't just really spelled out in some of these initiatives? So it becomes difficult to understand and relate to and feel comfortable in voting for something. So I think that's the best case moving forward is to try to play that role in letting people know about these questions and what questions they have, whether it's doing an FAQ or whatever else, just to say, okay, what are some of the top five questions people have about each of these initiatives, and try to get answers to them.
One of the things that the Chargers didn't do when they were here, which I think pissed a lot of folks off, was they kind of put spokesmen out, Fred Moss who was there, Fabiani, mm-hmm, right? They kind of were the mouthpieces for the entire movement, and they were not the most gentle of mouthpieces. and they kind of burned a lot of bridges and made a lot of people mad. And a lot of people just wanted to hear from Dean. They wanted to hear from people within the organization, you know, the facts, the real things, what the, it just have the opportunity to ask them questions. Do you see that happening with the Soccer City folks or the SDSUS folks? Do you see the forums being presented or maybe planned on down the road to help people better understand and have that face-to-face time?
I think there will be. I'll give both sides credit, because a lot of the individuals who are the primary stakeholders have made themselves available, whether it's the Soccer City side or the SDSU West side. And SDSU is a little bit of a precarious position because the institution itself cannot campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think you're going to see any of the president of SDSU or other folks campaign on that side, but the folks who are proposing it will be there. I mean,
yeah.
I think they have made themselves available to answer those questions and whatnot, and against Soccer City as well too. So I think they have done a great job of being accessible to folks and answering questions or making themselves available on media and other forums. So I think there will be a number of different forums. And I will say too, I think the also sports media world will start to re-engage on this once we get closer to the election. I mean, kind of as a right now, this kind of summer lull is there.
Yeah.
But once after Labor
Day.
Are
you saying the Padres aren't doing good?
I originally came here for Tank Talk.
Oh, sorry.
I think I stepped in the wrong building. But
yeah, I apologize.
Yeah. But I think after Labor Day is when kind of campaign season picks up again, and people will start getting the mailers and seeing the commercials and all that. And so I think that both sides will do their part to make themselves available to answer those tough questions. And if they don't, that is also very telling.
Yeah. So basically, because here's for a voter, here's what it comes down to. You know, you look like it's like, and you kind of mentioned it yourself a little bit. They want to play the, do you like education?
Yeah.
Do you like, you know, campus expansions and all the stuff that comes with that? If you do, then vote for SDSU West. But if you don't, if you vote for Soccer City, then apparently you hate education. You hate SDSU, and that's kind of but that's a lot of what people are selling. And my hope is that moving forward, they can navigate away from that kind of rhetoric.
Agreed.
And start moving into a place where we can be a little more inclusive, because it sounds like what you would ultimately like to happen is them to come together and join forces
in some form or fashion. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, again, I think our hope was, going back to last year in 2017, that was going to happen. And again, not being a part of those conversations and in those rooms, we all felt like it was close, that, you know, okay, we're gonna get there. And you know, just me also hearing interviews on the radio as well too, that, okay, we're talking, that's great, we're gonna come to a solution and figure this thing out. And obviously that didn't happen. But again, whatever happens post-November, if one of these measures were to pass, I think there is a lane there for both sides to come together and figure this out and how to move forward, and again, not have any type of unnecessary delays to implementing whichever project is the one that gets the most votes.
So like what, Corey Brock, is that guy's name?
Corey Briggs.
Yeah, he was on the podcast like 2 years ago. I should have remembered. Corey Briggs.
Yeah.
So everyone's just waiting for his lawsuit to be filed,
but
right?
Again, I think there will be a lawsuit that's filed. You know, again, that's where it's kind of like, that's the norm. You deal with that and you move on. But again, aside from that, what can we do to mend fences and figure out the best path forward? Because again, no one wants to see that just god awful building sit there for 10 to 15 more years. We want something big there. And that's a, you know, prime area, especially with a lot of other issues we have as a city that are hanging over our heads, whether it's the housing crisis, or, you know, dealing with transit, how do we best utilize that and development. I mean, those are all big things that we need to figure out, and that's one of the last big pieces of property that's in the city that can be utilized.
Well, that's kind of my, you know, and I'll toot my own horn because I'm the host, but I
you get that right.
Yeah, I talked about that. I did every once in a while I do these little vlogs, I guess you can say, on Twitter, and the thing I talked about last time was with the people making everything so divisive, you know. You do have to start looking, like, sports are meant to be the escape. Like, this is supposed to be our escape from the real problems. And oftentimes when this happens, now it's not an escape. Now it's another problem. And then you have to stack that problem up with the other problems. And like you mentioned, the housing crisis is maybe just a little more important than soccer or college football. Even higher education to some degree is less important than the housing crisis or homelessness or all those other issues. And so that's what kind of starts to irritate me, is when I look at this situation going like, man, what are we going to do with that stadium? To me, I'm just bulldoze it, put up a Wendy's. Like, I don't care what happens there. I mean,
we
hell.
More Arby's, though. We more Arby's.
You would do at least one more. You got one in D6, though. I know where it is, man.
I got one off of Commerce Boulevard, yep.
I'm going to tell you an Arby's story, and this is not – I mean, it's not a story. I'll just say once a year, one time every year, I go to Arby's. Once a year.
Good
I just,
for you.
And I go, and I have my beef and cheddar. And then I remember why I don't go to Arby's after I have them. And then
just
I come back next year.
Just stick with the roast beef sandwich, and that's it. With a little sauce. You don't need the cheddar.
The barbecue is just so good.
It is. Great. sidetrack, sorry.
No, it's okay. That's okay. It's good. I mean, here's the thing. I think that I would hope that the government is paying attention to more important issues than the stadium. I know it's important to a lot of folks, and like you said, it's a big piece of property. It's a big issue. It needs to be decided on.
Yeah.
But I can only imagine that you want it out of the way as much as other people want it out of the way, so you can focus on the other things that are down the pipe.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely important. I think what you were getting at too a little bit was what process do folks undertake from a decision making standpoint with either sports issues or politics issues or other scenarios that are maybe more important than sports. I think when we introduce sports into the mix, it's an emotional feeling, right? I mean, and sometimes you put emotion over just that rational basis of thinking, you know, and okay, yes, but I love this team, or I love this sport, or I love this part of this. And that's it's tough to intermix that two decision making processes where you're trying to think about reason and kind of the step by step rational basis test on making a decision versus inserting emotion into that. And that's where things get difficult. And that's where, you know, going back, I hate to go back to the Chargers, but when I would have conversations with my family, your friends, whatever else, it always came down to, but I love this team.
Yeah.
But I been a season ticket holder for 30 years, but yeah. I did, and that's where, for me, from my standpoint as a decision maker, as a policymaker, I have to check that. Mm-hmm. You know, you told me that the Lakers are moving down to San Diego, or even the Clippers, an NBA team. I'm a huge NBA fan. I would love to have an NBA team in San Diego, but not at any cost, not at any expense. There has to be that insertion of a rational basis to making kind of these foundational decisions on what ends up being taxpayer money.
Yeah, and I think you see, I think if you look at those things rationally, a lot more cities are doing that. Yeah. And I'm proud of a lot of the cities. So I was proud of San Diego when they made when they didn't vote through the Chargers initiative, not because I hate the Chargers. I mean, I hate Dean Spanos. I think most people do. And I'm glad that we've all kind of arrived on that. We just hate Dean. That's a nice compromise. But I didn't want the Chargers to leave. I didn't want football to leave. I didn't want that to be a stain on San Diego. But at the end of the day, you know, you look at a lot of these teams are kind of holding cities ransom almost. You know, you look at what happened in Milwaukee with that horrible debacle. You looked at what happened in St. Louis when the Rams left there. St. Louis is on the hook for like 30 more years of payments to an empty stadium, basically.
Yep.
So there's a lot of problems that come with these scenarios. And it's hard to, like you mentioned, to think of these things rationally because some people, they got a lightning bolt tattoo on their head. You know, what are they supposed to do? And but I get that. You know what I mean? I understand that. And that's why it seems interesting to me now when we're, you know, not that the Aztecs are bad. I love watching college football. I love watching the Aztecs play basketball. But it is an interesting situation because soccer's not huge. Aztecs are not huge. So we're kind of taking a step down. And there's not a lot of Aztec tattoos on people's faces. There's no soccer tattoos, I think, on people's faces. So it is kind of an interesting situation where we can remove, with the ability of taking a step down, we can put in some rationale. We can think of things a little more logically. And I almost think that's even pissing more people off, is that you can insert some of that in. So it's just an interesting time right now.
No, absolutely. And that's for us, and how I look at this decision, and really again the conversation after November, post November, is where do we go from here on making some other big decisions in this city? And again, I think there are a lot of other questions that are going to come forward. I can guarantee the sports arena conversation is going to happen sooner rather than later. And again, does this foreshadow what that conversation may be like in the future. And that's where I hope not. I mean, I would love for us to settle on one thing about what happens with that arena. Do we go there? Do we go downtown? What does that look like? Who pays for it? Who's involved in the conversation? All those things can happen in more of a, I guess, a peaceful manner. And yeah, we can all come around knowing that everybody's not going to be probably in agreement, but the most amount of people are. And I just, you know, I just don't want the perfect to be the enemy of the good when making these large visionary choices.
Well, I think if we learned anything this episode, it's that you believe the Clippers are coming back. So that's good. I'm going to quote you on that. That'll be the quote.
they just traded away Austin Rivers. You know, they make a play at Kawhi. We'll see. You know.
Oh, man, if they got Kawhi, I might get season tickets. Well, hey, man, I really appreciate you coming down and taking the time.
Thanks for having me.
You got to run up to another event. This was an event. Chris J. Kate on Twitter, right?
Yes, sir.
At Chris J. Kate. Yep. I don't know if you have a website that you want people to check out, but do you? Or?
Yeah, chrisjkate.com.
That's
the,
easy.
That's the other website that has some information on there about what's going on this November.
You like Arby's. Is there anything else anywhere? We've had Claremont conversations before, but what is like when you're driving through Claremont? Because I know there's other parts of D6. Screw them. I'm not talking about them. Claremont specifically, what's your favorite place to go?
Claremont specifically, I usually just go to the Regency Center in there. The 85 Degrees is in there now, which is just awesome. Huh. I mean,
wait, is the Regency Center, is that where
that's
the Barney Stone?
Exactly, Barney
Stone.
Okay,
so I spent most of my life at the Barney Stone. have you ever been in there for a drink?
I have a long time ago,
we got
to
go back.
I used to live right behind there when I went to USD. So
did you really?
Oh, yeah.
That's where I grew up, on Belleville and Genesee.
Yeah, so I lived south of, more by Mesa College. So I lived on that side.
Dude, I lived right across the street from Horizon on Genesee.
Okay, well,
and those apartments.
Yes.
Look at that. We probably skateboarded together. Didn't even know what happened. Well, cool, man. We'll go to Barney Stone. We'll film it. We'll get real drunk. And then we'll call Dean Spanos.
That sounds great.
Yeah. Thanks, Chris. I appreciate
it. Thank you.
TKF United.